This is Teen News Tonight with Lily and Nate. We have two stories tonight about teen cell phone use, one from the U.S. and one from the U.K.
In January of 2026, the University of Washington published a study in JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, about smartphone use amongst 13 to 18-year-olds. They intended to gauge the impact of smartphones on task and academic engagement. The study found that social media apps were at top of usage. They also found that teens from lower-income households use their smartphones more often.
Dr. Christakis, a professor of pediatrics and senior author of a paper, commented that, quote, "These ads are designed to be addictive while depriving students of school and social engagement," end quote. Dr. Nagata, lead author and also professor of pediatrics, says the study moved the conservation past teens self-reporting to capturing real-world behavior.
The study also noted that many states now ban or restrict cell phone usage in schools, while they have been poorly enforced, if at all. It recognized the generational implications of depriving children of opportunities to learn in school, said Dr. Christakis. These findings will likely shape ongoing conversations about smartphones as educators and policymakers seek ways to balance use with learning.
Meanwhile, UK psychologists from the University of York, led by Professor Lisa Henderson and Dr. Emma Sullivan, tested the impact of a 21-day, 24/7 phone removal experiment. Year 8 pupils at the Stanway School gave up smartphones completely for 21 days. Students underwent tests at the beginning. Experts monitored behavioral changes throughout the period. Tests were repeated at the end to note what effects giving up phones had on brain activity, sleep, well-being, and cognition. The study was designed to observe effects on learning, relationships, and well-being if students were fully present. The policy was communicated to students and parents as a trial. Staff emphasized that the experiment was about understanding impact, not assigning blame, and the students' feedback would be taken seriously.
The ban impacted positively on sleep and mood. Both educators and parents recognized that for 13-year-olds, smartphones had become ever-present companions, shaping attention, emotions, and social life in ways that were increasingly difficult, unimaginable ways.
At an age marked by identity, formation, heightened sensitivity to peer approval, and emotional volatility, phones amplified everything. Students arrived at school tired from late-night scrolling, emotionally charged social media interactions, while mentally split between the classrooms and their digital world.
Teachers described fragmented classrooms with poor attention. Even when phones were not openly visible, students were still preoccupied, anticipating notifications, replaying online conflicts, worrying about being left out of group chats. Lessons were frequently interrupted by the emotional aftershocks of last night's online interactions.
Lunchtimes and breaks, once social buffers, were largely silent, isolating, with students sitting together yet focused on separate screens. For students, phones felt like indispensable yet overwhelming. Many 13-year-olds spoke about pressures to respond, fears of missing out, and stress from managing personas at an age of fragile confidence.
Parents and staff noticed rising anxiety, reduced confidence while struggling to separate school with online life. Tech as a constant was shaping school, home, and inner lives of young adolescents. The school's intent was a bold but simple intervention: remove smartphones entirely for 21 days, 24/7, rather than partial restrictions.
Reaction was swift and emotional. Students argued that phones were essential. Parents worried about emergencies and the conflict realities of modern adolescence. Teachers were cautious, anticipating enforcement challenges and resistance, while believing that partial measures would fail without collective buy-in.
Phones were stored securely, staff was briefed, the three-week experiment began. The first days were uncomfortable. Students described feeling restless, bored, exposed. Break times felt longer. Some didn't know what to do with their hands, where to look. Teachers reported an initial spike in irritability with boundary testing.
As the days passed, changes surfaced. Lunchtimes grew louder as students started talking, joking, and occasionally arguing face-to-face. Small social groups shifted and expanded as students were led to engage with those around them.
Teachers noticed that lessons flowed more smoothly, with fewer interruptions and longer stretches of sustainable attention. Students previously distracted now participated actively. Emotionally, many reported feeling calmer as online conflicts lost intensity. School became a refuge from digital drama.
Several students expressed surprise at how revealing it felt, describing a sense of unexpected freedom. Parents also noted differences. Some reported better sleep, more conversations, and fewer emotional meltdowns. The three-week pause provided a reset, reliving both students and parents.
The trial was not a perfect solution. Some missed the creative and practical benefits of their devices, while the school acknowledged text value when used intentionally. The three-week trial demonstrated something powerful. With phones gone, 13-year-olds adapted. They relearned being present to others, how to tolerate boredom, and how to engage more fully.
By the end of the experiment, the question became what kind of school environment best supports their growth. The test revealed how much adolescents gain when attention, connection, and community are given room to breathe.
Also noteworthy, mental health improved with a 17% drop in anxiety and 18% drop of depression symptoms. Students reported improved sleep, better mood, and 3% improvement in working memory. The good news in all of this is that today kids, parents, and educators are working with each other to take a long, hard look at the impact of tech with an eye to encouraging the good while reducing the bad.
Thank you for listening in, folks. That's going to be it for today's story. We hope you have a lovely day, and we will see you next time.